We leave you today with a story out of Afghanistan that has new interest. Remember when Sal Junta became the first living Medal of Honor recipient since the Vietnam era? He was with Battle Company. Battle Company was the platoon of soldiers fighting in Afghanistan's remote Korangal Valley in 2007, the subject of the documentary film Restrepo, the name they gave their remote hilltop base to honor their medic, Juan Restrepo. He was a 20-year-old single father who would be killed in combat. In the film's first scene, he mugs for the camera as he and his platoon begin their journey to war.
Got him. Tune in next time where we're going to be still loving life and getting ready to go to war.
Loving life, going to war, the young Army medic Juan Restrepo. He was killed in the Korangal Valley, a valley the U.S. military eventually abandoned after 50 American soldiers were killed there. The film, made by Sebastian Younger and Tim Hetherington, got an Oscar nod this week in the Best Documentary category, and because of that, it will air on the National Geographic Channel next Wednesday night. Now, Sebastian Younger also wrote a book called War. It's based on the experiences of Battle Company, and we spoke with one of the soldiers featured in the book and film. When Captain Dan Kearney came to the studio, I asked him if it was tough to hear Juan Restrepo's voice now that he's gone.
It's not really so much difficult as it is just kind of just takes me back and brings up other memories. But it's been a long time, and I've been deployed multiple times. So it's just there's a lot of guys like that, and I've kind of put them away in my own little place.
When you say a lot of guys like that, he was beloved. I mean, 20 years old, and we just heard that spirit, love and life, and then cut down. Do you mean a lot of guys with that spirit or a lot of guys who died?
A little bit of both. I mean, if you see the movie, you'll also hear about another incredibly well-loved man, Sergeant Larry Rugel, probably one of the best fighters that I've ever come across, a beloved single father as well. I mean, we lost seven guys out there.
Yeah. Well, and we have a little snippet of sound. Now, is it okay if I play it? Because this is after the death of Sergeant Larry Rugel, and it really hits the soldiers hard. Do you mind if we listen to that?
No, let's go ahead.
Yeah, let's listen to that.
Right now.
Right now.
2-6, 2-6, 2-3.
You're lying, right, man?
I ain't lying. Why would I lie about something like that?
2-6,
2-3.
Where'd he get hit?
Ugh.
Yeah, that's about what you can say.
So where is this place you put that?
Good question. Probably a question my wife would like to know, too. It's a place I kind of just draw from.
Hmm.
It helps me keep on going and allows me to, I think, do my job that much better because I have an appreciation for the loss of life and what it is I'm asking those men to do out there when I'm leading them. Sergeant Rugel is probably one of the harder guys that I lost, just because of how close I was to him and just how incredible a fighter and warrior he was. But, I'm not so sure where exactly I put it. I put it back someplace that I only talk about with the guys that I've gone over there with. And it's, I said it best, I think, last night. It's almost like I was cheating on my wife and I married the other 200 guys that were out there with me.
Yeah.
And then when I came back, it was like I had a divorce myself from them. And, you know, I think when somebody cheats on somebody or does something like that, they're not so willing to talk about it later on with their other spouse or their other loved ones. So I think I can best, you know, describe it in that way.
Wow, what an incredible analogy. And for those who haven't yet read the book or seen the film, we talked to Sebastian Younger about this. It's an incredible camaraderie. You see this constant physical playing around like a bunch of pile of puppies.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And at times, even, I mean, I remember one moment where a new top guy comes in, you know, a big deal, stuff on his shoulders guy. You know, you're quietly listening to him tell the unit what's going to happen. And then somebody says, let's get him. And you literally beat him up.
We indoctrinate him.
Yeah.
It's like brotherly love. I mean, two brothers, they roll around. They kind of establish who the alpha male is and who isn't. And the boys out there for 15 months, they just build this kind of family up together, where the platoon leader's like the big brother, and he's not going to let anybody mess with his little brother. So he's out there to take care of them and kind of guide them in that way.
There was also another aspect of being at war that we saw so clearly, and it's hard for those who haven't, perhaps, to grasp this. Despite this pain that we're feeling again today and the loss, there's a rush. When asked what you were there for, a lot of the troops said, it's not about, we don't care what's happening in Washington. You're nodding yes. It's about what?
It's about being part of something that you feel is actually making some kind of difference. I mean, it's about the man to the left and the right. They don't fight for the red, white, and blue. They don't fight for America's values. They didn't sign up for all those reasons. They're fighting to make sure that it is the guy on the left, he makes it home on that mid-tour leave. So the guy on his right, he's going to turn 21 tomorrow. They want to make sure that he sees his 21st birthday and so that he can go back home and drink a beer with them. It's so that the kid behind him can go back and see his daughter. They've been bonded together by the blast furnace of combat. These men are truly one.
And I would think it would have to be that, because at the end of the day, 50 men, I believe, died in Coringal Valley.
Right.
In total. You said, what, seven?
Seven were from your battle company.
Group, and the U.S. military decided to leave the valley, gave it up. And so if it were just about that valley, you'd be in trouble, I would think.
We'd have some problems.
Yeah. How do you feel about the fact that the policy shifted and they decided that they weren't going to try to take that valley after shedding so much blood there?
At the end of the day, I mean, going into the Coringal Valley was really meant to keep the enemy off their toes, to keep the balance off of a greater mission that was going on a much larger scale and on a much larger valley just to the north called the Pesh Valley, and allow the government to kind of gain a foothold into a place that it really had never gained a foothold in, and to kind of establish itself. So we were in the Coringal fighting and keeping the enemy so that they could do something better on the Pesh. And once they got the Pesh road, you know, paved and lights and a bank on the road and a few other things going in the right direction, I think they felt like we need to pull these guys out and put them someplace else so they can better used.
And you're the soldier. That's okay with you. You go where you're.
I mean, I go and I execute, you know, what the nation expects me to do, which is, hey, go out there and make contact and close within and destroy the enemy. I don't really care about all the other stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, really all anybody cares about, as long as they know that they have a leader who's in charge of them that's both morally and ethically straight and narrow, and it's not going to ask them to go and do something that, you know, they wouldn't do themselves, I don't think anybody cares. I mean, I've said it before, if Big Bird was in charge, and as long as he, you know, could do what was right, and he didn't ask us to compromise our integrity or our morals and our values, then I think we would go forth and we would do whatever it is that he asked. The shift is not going to change anything on the ground. Those guys don't worry about that. They care about the guy to the left and to the right that's going to go and possibly take that bullet for him so that he can go home, or he's worried about taking that bullet so that that guy can go home and see his wife, his girlfriend, or his daughter and son. Yeah.